The Ghost of the Rath by Rosamund Holland. Many may disbelieve this story, yet there are some still living who can remember hearing, when children, of the events which it details, and of the strange sensation which their publicity excited. The tale, in its present form, is copied by permission from a memoir written by the chief actor in the romance, and preserved as a sort of heirloom in the family whom it concerns. In the year I, John Thunder, captain in the regiment, having passed many years abroad following my profession, received notice that I had become owner of certain properties which I had never thought to inherit. I set off for my native land, arrived in Dublin, found that my good fortune was real, and at once began to look about me for old friends. The first I met with, quite by accident, was curly-headed Frank O'Brien, who had been at school with me, though I was 10 years his senior. He was curly-headed still and handsome, as he had promised to be, but careworn and poor. During an evening spent at his chambers, I drew all the history from him. He was a briefless barrister. As a man, he was not more talented than he had been as a boy. Hard work and anxiety had not brought him success, only broken his health and soured his mind. He was in love, and he could not marry. I soon knew all about Mary Leonard, his fiancée, whom he had met at a house in the country somewhere, in which she was a governess. They had now been engaged for 2 years, she active and hopeful, he sick and despondent. From the letters of hers which she showed me, I thought she was worth all the devotion he felt for her. I considered a good deal about what could be done for Frank, but I could not easily hit upon a plan to assist him. For 10 chances you have of helping a sharp man, you have not 2 for a dull one. In the meantime, my friend must regain his health, and a change of air and scene was necessary. I urged him to take a voyage of discovery to the Rath, an old house and park which had come into my possession as portion of my recently acquired estates. I had never been to the place myself, but it had once been the residence of Sir Luke Thunder, of generous memory, and I knew that it was furnished and provided with a caretaker. I pressed him to leave Dublin at once, and promised to follow him as soon as I found it possible to do so. So Frank went down to the Rath. The place was 200 miles away. He was a stranger there, and far from well. When the first week came to an end, and I heard nothing from him, I did not like the silence. When a fortnight had passed, and still not a word to say he was alive, I felt decidedly uncomfortable. But when the third week of his absence arrived at Saturday without bringing me news, I found myself whizzing through a part of the country I had never travelled before, in the same train in which I had seen Frank seated at our parting.